Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. It is Thanksgiving week, and we hope everyone has a lot to be thankful for this year. Eat some good food. But before we get to that, we got some sports talk here. I'm the J-Man. Sitting next to me is Tanner, T-Dog Lee. How you doing out there, T-Dog?
Doing good, J-Man. It's Thanksgiving week, like you said. And also, this coming Friday is the Tan and J-Man Show's ninth birthday.
Ninth birthday, huh? I knew we were coming up on 9 years. I didn't know the exact date.
I had to look it up. November 28th, 2016.
I remember it was like the Monday after Thanksgiving that year. I remember.
Crazy. It doesn't feel like 9 years, but then you start looking back at things we've talked about and covered, yeah, and different studios we've recorded in and everything. It's definitely been 9 years. So
yeah, we used to be real creative and do stupid videos for you, previewing the episodes, but no longer. I think we've we've matured and sculpted our
I don't know about matured by any means, but it also doesn't help. We don't live in the same state, correct, let alone same, yeah, same city, let alone same state.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Pumped for tonight's show. We got a lot to talk about. Last week of the regular season for college football.
Great. Yeah.
NFL, another week in the books coming up on week 13. Well, it will be tonight after the Monday night game. Coming up on week 13. College basketball, we still got big tournaments going on, which we probably should enjoy while we can, because I think they are going to be a thing of the past here in the next 5 years. So, or at least some of them, maybe like the smaller warm destination ones. But yeah, man, excited to get into it. And so I brought some birdie or bogey with me this evening, and it is Thanksgiving and NFL related. There are four teams in the NFL that have one or less that have played on Thanksgiving one or less times.
Four teams. Okay. That's a good one. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine, cocktails, located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
Go check them out, and let's see what they had over the weekend here. Visit them on Facebook at Arlington Public House. They had an apple glazed bacon cheddar burger.
Mm-hmm.
Burger topped with apple butter, freshly sliced apples, cheddar cheese, candied bourbon bacon, and spring mint. Served with crispy beer-battered french fries.
Yummy. I've never had apple on a burger. It seems like it'd be okay because a lot of fruits go pretty well with like saltier, savory stuff. I mean, peanut butter and apples go very well together. So I'd be interested to try that on a burger.
Yeah, I've never tried it myself either. But like you said, I like peanut butter and apples together. So I like all kind of apples. The Red Delicious, the Granny Smith. I don't remember what the other kind's called off the top of my head.
I don't either.
Golden Delicious, right?
Golden
Delicious?
Something. Red Delicious? Something Delicious.
Well, Red Delicious is, yeah. I thought, no, oh, whatever. Whatever. I like all the apples.
So. Yeah.
Do you like... when it comes, we're going down a weird food rabbit hole right now, but when it comes to melon, do you like just watermelon or do you like cantaloupe and honeydew?
I like cantaloupe. Not a big fan of honeydew, but I do like cantaloupe. I love watermelon. Watermelon's probably my favorite of the melons, yeah, I should say. Yeah, muskmelon's good. Watermelon, again, not a big fan of honeydew. I'll eat it, but I'm kind of indifferent with it. But yeah.
J-Man's a big fan of the melons.
I like the melons. This actually leads me into Thanksgiving here. I have my blind ranking. I feel like this will be a good spot to do it. So I did this, I think it was 4th of July or maybe Memorial Day, where I did like food synonymous with that holiday. You know, it was a bunch of obviously grilled stuff. But now I have five Thanksgiving foods that are synonymous with Thanksgiving. And I want you to rank them 1 through 5 without knowing what comes next. Starting with mashed potatoes and gravy.
I like myself some mashed potatoes and gravy, but it's not like a special thing for me on Thanksgiving, because here in the Lee household, we eat mashed potatoes and gravy quite often. or at least mashed potatoes, maybe not gravy all the time. But I'm going to go safe here. I'm putting it at three. That's still a great side dish.
Yeah. Ham.
This is a tough one because I like ham and I like turkey. Some days I like it better. Some days I like turkey better. I'll put ham at four.
Okay. Okay. Here we got a turkey.
I said I liked ham and turkey. I kind of wish I wouldn't have put mashed potatoes at three. I'll go turkey two. I feel like since it's Thanksgiving,
yeah,
I gotta go turkey two. But it makes
all right. I think you already screwed up. No, knowing what I know about you, one of these final two is going to have to go in your one slot, and you're not going to be very happy with either of them in your one slot.
That's why you don't go three with the first answer. That's
right. I was surprised to hear ham at four. I thought you put ham two, turkey one, or vice versa. Anyway, to get to the final one, here we got a pumpkin pie.
Five. I don't like it.
All right.
Right. So number one, I'm not going to like either. All right.
Correct. Cool. Green bean casserole. Yeah.
Oh yeah, what an awful list.
Yeah.
If I had to re-rank, I would put actually mashed potatoes and gravy one, turkey two, ham three, pumpkin pie four, green bean casserole five.
Yeah. I almost had apple pie on there, but I switched it out because apple pie is kind of synonymous with Thanksgiving, but it's also for like 4th of July, stuff like that. Pumpkin pie more so.
Where would you rank those?
I would probably, you know, that list that you re-ranked pretty dang good. Again, I'm kind of a coin flip when it comes to ham or turkey.
Yeah, me too.
I really only eat turkey like once, this kind of turkey like once a year. Like
deli
meat I can go throughout the year.
I agree.
I'd probably put ham one, mashed potatoes and gravy two, turkey three, pumpkin pie four, green bean casserole five. I don't like green bean casserole at all. I can handle pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I could too if I had to. I guess
put a bunch of like Cool Whip on it.
Yeah, it's definitely not my favorite pie.
What are your favorite pies? I think I know some of them. It's like you like sugar cream pie, you like strawberry pie, apple pie.
I can do a lot of fruit pies. I can do a cherry. I'm not a big blueberry pie. I like blueberry like muffins, but I'm not a big blueberry pie guy. Yeah. Blackberry, no. I'm not a blackberry guy, but a lot of fruits I can go with. I like key lime pie. I don't eat it too often, but I find it refreshing when I do. I'm more of a pie guy than a cake guy, so I like a lot more pies than I do cake. Pecan pie I used to not like, but it's grown on me over the years.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I like a French silk pie. My wife makes a fantastic apple pie.
I don't know if I've had apple pie.
It's good. It's just chocolate whipped cream. Like a chocolate mixture. You'd like it. You'd like it. I'm for sure you'd like it. With like chocolate shavings on top. My mom usually gets them from Village Inn for Thanksgiving, and I think she got one already for this year. So,
but like my favorite Thanksgiving food, and not everybody has it, but like in my family we do. We have noodles, like chicken and noodles. Also as a side, I always eat like three plates full of noodles. I like corn casserole a lot.
Love corn casserole.
I'm good. I'm an easy man to please. I like a good roll.
Yeah, me too.
I like a bread.
Dinner roll. Yeah.
That's all I can. I'm not huge on like the sweet potatoes with marshmallows. No.
Neither.
On it. I'm not a big sweet potato guy.
No, I'm not a big fan of like cranberry sauce either.
No.
Like I love cranberry juice, but I can't handle the sauce.
Stuffing, it's starting to grow on me, but it's still gotta be special things in it. Like it's gotta be, can't have a lot of like onions or anything.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not a big fan of stuffing either. I like cheesy potatoes.
You can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Yep.
Corn casserole. I think my mom always makes baked beans, which I'm not a big fan of.
I like baked beans, but I can't eat tons of them. Like, and I'm not just saying that for anybody else's well-being around me or anything. But no, I like baked beans, but I can only eat like a small portion of them, and I get very tired of them.
Man, a good dinner roll sounds good.
Yeah,
I like a good dinner roll.
I like to get the sweet Hawaiian rolls from the store. Put them in the oven for just a couple minutes.
Oh yeah,
boom.
Where it's at.
Boom. Got a comment here on Facebook from Thad Mooney. 9 lies, all lies. Time's a funny thing, gentlemen. When you started this adventure, I was on my first enlistment. Now I'm on my last win. Last and yesterday was the start of year 16 of 20 till retirement and freedom.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Congrats, Mooney.
Yep.
And thank you as well for your
service. Absolutely. And he said to re-rank is spot on. All right. All right. Yeah, you know what's funny? My wife would probably put Green Bay Casseroles one.
I remember here. I think my wife might put it one too. She loves green bean casserole. She got like when she was pregnant. She had a hankering for green bean casserole, and she made so much of it. She's the only one that would eat it. It take up space in our fridge. It smells so bad. It all just the sight of it makes me gag at this point. But yeah, she definitely had a pregnancy craving for green bean casserole, which is brutal for me. Like,
it's funny because that's my mother-in-law's staple at the holidays to make, and my mom's staple to make. So yeah. So my wife gets a lot of it, and I'm like, I'm good.
I'm good.
I've tried it plenty of times and just don't care for it.
Yeah. No, thank you.
So, but good list. I was ready for the Biden ranking being Thanksgiving themed because you kind of hinted at it last week, but very good list. Switch it up from sports for a week. And the Blind Ranking Signal is brought to you by, like it is every week, Performer Prints You Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Prints You Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weisberg a call, 574-210-3815. I'm going to let my dog in the room because he's whining and he's getting on my nerves.
I think we should start with some college basketball talk. We didn't get to talk too much about college hoops last week with football and all of that, so I feel like it's a good time with being Feast Week. All of that, we have the kind of holiday tourneys going on here. The main one is definitely the Players Era tourney. Is it even a tourney?
I don't know.
I assume it is because the winner gets $1 million. So yeah. It's got to be.
So, and I saw the tweet that our buddy Evan Webb sent us that came out today that they're trying to expand it into like 24 or 32 teams or something, and
yeah,
like the winners play. But if you don't know if you're gonna win there or not, how do you schedule your non-conference games?
Exactly, because that'd be a lot of games.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a lot of games. You have to win probably 4 or 5 games.
Like a mess to me.
It does. Now with how college sports are these days, it makes sense to have something like this. And unfortunately, I mean, the Maui used to be like the big deal. And now, I mean, we see next year's field in the Maui, and it's just brutal. I don't think there's one team that'll be ranked in the preseason.
Isn't this year's pretty weak, too?
It's pretty weak, too. I think NC State's ranked, and they lost today to, I think, Seton Hall. And they became actually the first ranked team to lose to a non-ranked team all season. It's the longest stretch ever to start a season without a non-ranked team, unranked team, beating a ranked team. But, yeah, these small turns, like – I mean, the Charleston's always pretty good. We have there's one down at like Orlando. There's one in Vegas that's usually pretty good. But I think they're all going to be kind of overshadowed by this players tourney.
I'm tired of the new wave of college athletics ruining tradition.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
There's no stopping it.
No. And now today it was just announced that Ohio high school athletes can make NIL money, which seems pretty excessive.
Well, Missouri's had it for a while, for a few years. Texas has had it for a few years because Quinn Ewers was the first one to make $1 million.
Yeah, that's so right.
Ohio's not the first state. It seems like it's more of a advantage for Ohio State than anything. They probably were behind pushing for this.
Probably.
Some way. I don't know. Yeah, it's sooner or later there'll be more states than not that probably allow it to happen. And
I
don't know. I don't know, man. It's just all wild anymore.
Yeah, it hasn't taken my love away from college sports like I thought it would, but it's definitely not nearly as fun as it used to be.
Right. I'm right there with you. I still love Purdue football and basketball as much as I always have, but it's not as fun. And like, I guess the years go on, unless stuff changes, it might really take people's love away for college sports, especially basketball when it comes tourney time. If we see less and less mid-majors making the tournament.
Right.
And because if you make the tournament anymore and you have some good players, bye-bye to them.
They got
exposure now. The big boys are coming for them.
And That's actually my next point. Like, the transfer portal has hurt my love. If I do, you know, if I have lost any love towards college sports, the transfer portal's hurt it more than NIL has, for sure. We've talked about this so much, but I miss the days following high school recruiting. Like, I didn't even know college basketball signing day was 2 weeks ago. It used to be a big deal. Football signing day used to be a huge deal. Now it's less so. I don't even really follow high school recruiting anymore.
Yep.
You no longer get the guys unless you're Matt Painter. Of course, you get them as a freshman and they're there all 4 years. That's very rare anymore. And
very,
for one, Matt Painter has built a culture where it continues to happen for him, where it happens really nowhere else. I mean, even now we're seeing it start to affect Marquette.
Sure.
Shaka Smart has refused to use the portal, and now they are, you know, they might finish bottom three or four in the Big East this year because of that.
After Butler.
Yeah, right there where they belong with Butler. I mean, that's a great basketball coach and a team that's been very, very good the past couple years.
Yeah.
But Shaka refuses to adapt to it. And that's just one example. And I think Dabo is another one that kind of refused to go through the portal at Clemson, and it's kind of caught up with him now. I mean, you see where they're at. So,
and I think it can play the other way too, where if you're using it too much, then
you're
not getting that gelling in basketball and in football, like especially at the quarterback position. I mean, if you hit on it, great. But if you swing and miss, and you don't develop quarterbacks, say like first one that comes to my mind, Jeff Brohm right now, Louisville. He keeps going to the portal and grabbing guys, and he has arguably never developed a quarterback. Aiden O'Connell's probably the closest one, and he was a walk-on that came to Purdue, and it kind of just all fell in place and got lucky there. I mean, that's Louisville fans are going crazy right now because he hadn't developed a quarterback, and it's Miller Moss is struggling, and their team's starting to struggle, and so you see it both ways.
Yeah, and I mean, we look at Kentucky basketball right now. They're struggling right now because they have pretty much an entirely new roster. And Mark Pope has even said, like, I'm still trying to figure these guys out and how to get them to where we need to be.
Yep.
We've seen it even for my own fandom with Illinois. I mean, they had a completely new roster in 2022 and it backfired. I mean, they were okay. They got a 9 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's a fine year for most programs and stuff, but where Illinois had been. But then they got a lot of retention the next year and they go to the Elite Eight. And then they had an entirely new roster the next season, and they really were inconsistent, were solid. I mean, 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. And now you see with more retention this year, they look to be pretty dang good. So, and we've seen that a lot with we used to talk about the sophomore leap. Now it's year two transfer leap. You see guys make a huge leap from their first year as transfer in to second year if they stay at the same program. But that's been an issue, is getting guys to stay for that second year or multiple years in your program.
Yep. It's wild. It's just, it's so much of it has sped, snowballed. I want to say so much quicker in the last couple of years than I think we ever thought possible. And I just don't know what's going to slow it down.
No, I don't either.
But what are your takeaways so far? I mean, we're still in November. Try not to overreact or underreact to too many things, but what are your takeaways about around the so far?
Around the Big Ten, again, I think I said it last week that the top two teams I've seen in the Big Ten play were Illinois and Purdue. Well, Illinois lost on Wednesday, and now Michigan State's the team, and Purdue, the way they handle it. I mean, they struggled with Memphis for a little bit and then pulled away late and then just destroyed Texas Tech. But they're the best team in the country. Like, you can talk about them on your own time, not on Tana Jamie's time. I'm just kidding. But
even though I saw arguments being made all over the place that Arizona should have been ranked number one today.
Which – yes, that they do. I mean, they have the best resume of any school. I mean, they've won at UConn. They've beaten Florida. They've beaten one other
UCLA.
Team. UCLA at UCLA.
Yeah.
Their resume definitely is number one worthy.
Sure.
The team that was most impressive this week was Michigan State. Besides Purdue, was Michigan State. I mean, the way they were able to handle Kentucky.
Alabama had a good week too.
They did. They did. Beating Illinois in the United Center, where it was 17,000 Illinois fans, and there might have been 100 Alabama fans there. A very good win for them, and I think it exposed some stuff when it comes to Illinois, where it might not be a big deal in the Big Ten, but like in non-con, I think they got exposed with teams that are quicker than them, They really struggle in teams that are more athletic, because this is not a very athletic Illinois team. I mean, they have, I'll be frank, they have a bunch of white, big white dudes. They're not going to be quick. They're going to be real fundamental. They're going to be able to shoot the ball a little bit, but if they're not hitting shots, it's going to be a struggle, which is, you could say that for every team. Illinois had some opportunities to really take control of that game on Wednesday, and they didn't. And even when Alabama got that lead, they cut it down to two, and they missed, I think it was 9 free throws or something in the second half. So it was a frustrating one. But at the same time, again, you're not going to overreact. Tommy Avisic, their best player, played 15 minutes maybe because he's been hurt, and he just didn't look like the same guy. So that is what it is. Michigan State looks good. Purdue looks great. I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Michigan, as I've said.
Even though they won't drop them in the polls.
They won't, which, I mean, they did beat two high majors, you know, regardless of how good those high majors are. They still beat them. Mm-hmm. Indiana's ranked now 25th.
Yep. Off to their first 5-0 start since 2022.
Yeah, they didn't look overly impressive against a low major over the week this past week. I think they won by 8. I forget who they played. Incarnate Word, I think it was.
They played Incarnate Word and then Lindenwood. They didn't look real
impressive, that's right,
in either one. No. Incarnate Word, they won by 8. Lindenwood, yes, they pulled away by 20, but it was close for a little while.
Yeah. And again, they probably shouldn't even rank teams till January because you just don't know.
They play Kansas State at home tomorrow, which should be a decent little game. Kansas State just lost their first game of the year to, I think it was to Butler over the weekend.
Nebraska.
Nebraska, thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeah, Nebraska. I've seen a lot of Nebraska fans bragging. Nebraska has the longest
win streak. Basketball fans?
Yeah, Nebraska has the longest win streak in the Big Ten, have not lost since March. They have this long win streak because they were so bad last year, they missed the Big Ten tournament, and then they won the crown, and they're bragging about it. Game win streak. Like, well, yeah. So take it with a grain of salt. But
can you imagine bragging about the crown?
No, can't imagine. Couldn't imagine. I you wouldn't hear me bragging about the NIT back then.
No,
kind of no. It's almost embarrassing to brag about it.
Yeah.
But I think there's been two teams that have cemented themselves as the worst teams in the Big Ten, and that's Minnesota and Rutgers.
Oh, my gosh.
They're the only two teams that are not in the KenPom top 100. I mean, Rutgers, I think they're going to struggle to win double-digit games this year.
I think Pyko might be in trouble. I know he's been a good fit, but...
Yeah, and I saw some Rutgers fans saying, thanking him for bringing them back to prominence. I'm like, he did. I mean, they were garbage, but still... Two tourney appearances in 9 years is not good. They're just getting destroyed.
I mean, you lost by double digits to Central Connecticut State.
Yeah. And now today they were down 30-something throughout most of the second half. And after the game, Pyko, they asked him about it. He said, well, we fought hard and won the second half. And they won the second half 30-29 when they were – and they still lost by 25 points.
Yeah,
so that's kind of embarrassing. But yeah. Even their wins this year against low majors, they'd be winning from like 8-12 points, not just blowing anyone out. Minnesota's look bad. It took overtime to beat Green Bay. They struggled with Chicago State for like 36 minutes, then got blitzed by San Francisco at home. I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. I think this is a much deeper Big Ten this year. In fact, USC was tipping off here. I'm going to go check the scores.
Took them, three or four overtimes to beat Troy?
To beat Troy. Troy almost had a good week. They won at San Diego State. And then, let's see here, Big Ten. It is fun feast week that games are played throughout the week. USC is down 1 with 2:57 left to Boise State.
How did Notre Dame and Kansas go?
Last I checked, Kansas was up 12 with 50 some seconds left. So I don't know.
Mike Shrewsbury's going to get it going there.
Yeah. Iowa State beat St. John's by 1 today.
Purdue Kansas plays them a week from 10. Saturday at Mackey.
Iowa State?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Home and home with them. Got a home and home with Marquette. Signed a home and home starting next year with Tennessee, which sick of playing those guys. Sick of playing Marquette too.
Same.
Yeah.
Tennessee. But Kansas is out of the top 25 in November for the first time since November of 2005. Yeah, Kansas won by 10 today.
Yeah, that's wild. Okay.
So it was nice to talk some college.
Yeah, I still I still haven't. I'm glad you started with that because we need to make sure to get it in. But I still have not watched a ton outside of Purdue, and I watched the most I've watched of any other game was Illinois Alabama.
Yeah, I've watched every single minute of the Illinois, even on the Big Ten Network Plus. I hate those games. I usually have to put them on mute because the commentators are almost too excited. And the worst part about their game on Saturday, it was a 1 o'clock tip off. No students. It's Big Ten Network Plus, so the atmosphere is just dead anyway. And you have, you know, the commentator screaming when somebody does something because I can't handle it. Got to be.
Yeah, might as well turn on the radio feed. And
yeah, I should. Yeah, I really should.
Yeah. So, but yeah, college hoops. We'll be talking about it through April, really.
Yeah.
So, do you want to get educated?
I do.
Learn about some sporting events that have happened on November 24th. Oh boy, this is okay. This is a pretty good one. On this day, 1953, Brooklyn Dodgers signed Walter Alston to a 1-year pact as a manager for 1954. He would go on to sign 23 more 1-year agreements until his retirement.
That's funny. That's a pretty good one.
A lot of Grey Cup, which I think they played the Grey Cup like 2 weeks ago.
They used to have it on like ESPN2 on Friday nights. We used to watch it, I remember.
Yeah, I watch some CFL once in a while. I see some Purdue guys up there once in a while. On this day, 1957, Cleveland Browns fullback Jim Brown set a club record of 237 rushing yards.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if that's still a club. It's probably still a Browns record. I don't know.
They've had some okay running backs. Quarterback position has been a nightmare, but
yeah, we'll get there. On this day in 1960, Philadelphia center Wilt Chamberlain pulled down NBA record 55 rebounds in the Warriors' 132-129 defeat to the Boston Celtics.
Do you believe he actually scored 100?
I do. I believe it.
I do too. It is interesting how there's not a single shred of video evidence, but yeah.
Oh,
55 rebounds might be even more impressive than 100 points, though.
Yeah. That's averaging about 13 rebounds a quarter?
A quarter, yeah.
Jeez. On this day, 1970, who won the 36th Heisman Trophy Award?
1970, was that Roger Staubach? I don't know when he was there.
Same position, but no, not Staubach.
1970 quarterback.
I'll give you what conference they're in right now. Right. ACC.
ACC quarterback. ACC. Well, give me the school.
Stanford.
Stanford. Jim Plunkett.
Yep. You got it. Good pull. Good pull. On this day, 1976, the NBA's Atlanta Hawks ended a 28-game road losing streak.
That's brutal.
On this day, 1976, who won his second straight National League MVP award?
76? That would have probably been Pete Rose. He won MVPs? I don't know if he won MVPs.
Wasn't Pete Rose.
Second straight. Johnny Bench.
No.
Same team, MVP? Who am I missing? Give it to me.
Joe Morgan.
Hate that guy. On this day,
1977, Miami Dolphin quarterback Bob Greasy passed for 6 touchdowns in a 55-14 win over the Cardinals in St. Louis.
6 touchdowns. I don't know if Marino ever got to 6. I know Tua has, but I don't know if Marino ever did.
I wish I knew cricket because that one looks cool, but no idea what that means. A lot of Grey Cup, man. A lot of Iron Bowl now.
Yeah.
Is that going to be it? On this day in 2012, the continued NHL lockout results in all games to December 14th being canceled.
That's a sad one.
I don't think they locked out the entire season that year, though. They did in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
I don't think they did in 2012.
I don't think they did either. I remember it was kind of almost the same year that the NBA did it.
Yeah, I liked the NBA when they did it that year.
They should just keep it at 66.
And on this day last year, NFL Philadelphia Eagles running back Saquon Barkley set a new franchise game record with 255 rushing yards in the 37-20 win over the LA Rams at SoFi Stadium.
He hasn't been nearly as good this year.
Has not. More expectations and pressure on him.
Yeah.
This year than there were last year, I feel like. So, but that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Moody Wood and Laser Crafts. Moody Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned, operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook, and online at mooneywoodlasercrafts.com. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. And speaking of Mooney Wood Crafts, the Thad says the Browns savior at quarterback is here.
Yeah.
He thinks so.
He definitely thinks so. Yeah.
Give him a full season, a full offseason, see what happens.
Yeah.
That's what he says. Which they did name him starter today. Even though,
might as well.
Yeah, even though Gabriel passed concussion protocol, but you might as well. And
yeah, see what you got. Gabriel hasn't been impressive either.
Yeah,
so,
neither. Yeah. So, yeah. But, well, let's get right into NFL.
All right.
Since we're on topic. Three winners, three losers for week 12.
My first winner is Houston Texans beating the Buffalo Bills. Found a way to beat the Buffalo Bills with Davis Mills as their starting quarterback.
When they let that hook and ladder happen on 4th-27, yeah. I'm like, they're losing this game.
Yeah, and they found a way. That defense is nasty, though. Arguably the best defense in the NFL.
It is nasty.
They need C.J. Stroud back, although I'm thoroughly unimpressed with C.J. Stroud, and I think Davis Mills has been an okay fill-in as a backup. All of a sudden 6-5. That turned out to be a halfway decent division.
Yeah, if the Colts aren't careful, they're gonna get
I know
they're gonna get crept up on by either the Texans, who they play this week, or the Jaguars, who held on for dear life yesterday in overtime to win the game again. 2-0 in overtime the last couple weeks. I'm going with the Chicago Bears, 31-28 win over the Steelers. Mason Rudolph and the Steelers, but this Bear team keeps finding ways to win close games, which for the last at least 5 years, they couldn't win close games. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a definite culture shift.
Yep.
For sure. They're finding a way. Yep. LA Rams. I'm putting my stamp on them as the best team in football right now. Matthew Stafford, over his last 8 games, has thrown 25 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
He's arguably
the best football of his career. At 37 years old.
He's probably winning the MVP race right now, even though I could make a case for Jonathan Taylor like I did a week or two ago, but it's more times than not a quarterback award. So
it's hard to give a MVP to a running back,
in my opinion. It is. The Dallas Cowboys,
the
winner for me, down 21-0, come back and beat the Eagles 24-21, improving their record to 5-5-1, so they're not out of it yet for the playoffs.
Yeah. One team that I don't think many people are talking about are the Seattle Seahawks. It wasn't an impressive win by any stretch over a real bad Titans team, but all of a sudden Seahawks are 8-3. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about them.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about them at all. My final winner, I hate them, but the Kansas City Chiefs winning an overtime game 23-20 to the Colts in a game they had to have. I feel like if they fell to 5-6, we really could have had serious conversations about them not making the playoffs and their season going downhill. But getting that win, I still think they'll probably make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they'll make the playoffs. And now the Colts might be tough for them to get the 1 seed now.
Yeah. First loser, New York Giants. They're 2-5.
Hit the field goal.
Yeah, they're 2-5 this year when leading by double-digit points, which is very, very hard to do. They fired their defensive coordinator today for some reason. Jameis, it was the most Jameis Winston experience ever watching him play quarterback. He caught a touchdown where he broke a tackle of a linebacker.
They ran that play twice.
Yeah.
Or a similar version of it twice.
And then the very next drive on the first play, he throws an interception.
Yep.
Jahmyr Gibbs was awesome for Detroit. He had, an 80-yard touchdown run in overtime. He had, a 70-yard touchdown run earlier in the game. He's a stud. But
got my cousin 57 fantasy points, but yet he's going to lose the matchup. So
interesting.
Yeah. It just baffled me. Like, there, I know they have a touchdown puts the game away.
Yeah,
but they had a chance to go up 6 with under 3 minutes left. Instead, they go for it, don't get it, and then the Lions up kicking a game time field goal to take it over.
Yeah.
Kick the field goal, make him go score a touchdown to win.
And again, I understand the thought process.
I do too.
Don't trust your defense to not give up a touchdown.
Yeah,
but analytics sometimes play a very stupid role. I mean, it plays a very important role. But also, I don't think I've ever seen ESPN flash that graphic. What should they do without them saying they need to go for it, regardless of where they're at? It's never punt or kick a field. It's always go for it.
I agree.
Stupid. So.
My first loser was the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, a week or two ago, you were talking about J.J. McCarthy, and I said, I think you got to give him more time because this is essentially his rookie year. Nah, dude's dog water. He's terrible. They've messed up badly taking him in the top 10. And
yeah.
I think Kevin O'Connell's a good coach, but they might turn sideways on him quick in Minnesota. Like, I don't know how they get out of this hole without going to get a different quarterback.
Yeah, it might be smart for O'Connell to maybe – change of scenery and go somewhere and be a head coach somewhere else. J.J. McCarthy's bad. 86 yards passing, 2 interceptions. It's worse every single. Now he's in the concussion protocol.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, a quarterback who majority of the time handed off and had a great defense and had a program that cheated their way to the North National Championship. It's almost like they're, you know, they ignored all the red flags there. And
yeah. I mean, yeah, he only, what, threw it 10 times in the national title game.
And, you know, there's a big rumor that Sean Payton baited the Vikings into trading up and getting J.J. McCarthy because he made it seem like he was really interested in J.J. at 12 when Nix was his guy the whole time. Yeah. So
yeah,
I don't know how true that is or not. But.
Yeah. My second loser, Vegas Raiders, man.
They are awful.
You can't keep firing coaches, but I have a hard time bringing Pete back. Yeah. I mean, they fired Chip Kelly today. It was $6 million. And 1 year to be offensive coordinator. Coordinators don't get that kind of deal over 4-year contract.
That's the reason he left Ohio State. Because
Geno Smith stinks.
Oh,
Pete, it's time to hang her up there, Pete. Another terrible hire by the Raiders.
Max Crosby's the only good thing they have.
Yeah, he's the exact same as. Have you seen, going back to the Browns a little bit, Miles Garrett?
Yes.
18 sacks on the year. He has 13 sacks over his last 4 games.
Yeah, I just don't think those guys – and I know this is a very dumb statement because it's false, but, like, I was – Stephanie and I were watching the games yesterday, and we were talking about Crosby and Garrett. I'm like, I don't think these dudes like to win, but they collect huge paychecks, you know, so where are they going to go somewhere else?
It is weird watching them do these incredible things when their teams just stink.
Yep. So – another loser for me. I know their quarterback got hurt. Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I know Baker got hurt, but I don't know how long he's hurt for, but now all of a sudden I'm thinking Carolina might win that division because Tampa Bay is starting to kind of free fall.
They've had a tough schedule, but still.
And injuries, Mike Davis or Mike Evans. Baker. Yeah.
Yeah, if Baker's out for a while, though, it might be.
I mean,
Teddy looked terrible.
Teddy was just retired 2 years ago for a year coaching high school football. Now he's back slinging the rock.
Bad.
Yeah.
My last loser, Arizona Cardinals.
Can't win a close game.
It's Jonathan Gannon. I think he's probably done after this year. This is year 3. That's enough time. They've been bad. Kyler Murray needs to go. I mean, I know he hasn't been playing. But he's bad. Jacoby Brissett obviously is not an NFL caliber starting quarterback. They probably need to complete teardown again.
My last loser, Buffalo Bills. Something's off.
I agree.
The Bills. I mean, Josh Allen threw that pick at the end, but he just doesn't have a lot of help around him this year. And they just, their defensive backs aren't good. I still think they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I'm not scared of them.
He got sacked 8 times.
Yeah. Thursday. Oh, yeah.
And that Houston pass rusher, Will Anderson's a stud.
He is.
But still, 8 times.
It's weird. Yeah, something's off with them big time.
Yeah.
Big time. So, week 13 slate, all teams in action this week. Yep. No bye weeks. Got 3 games on Thanksgiving. Of course, you got a traditional one here, Packers at Lions.
Give me the Lions for 2. I think this is a very, very good matchup for a Thursday night or Thursday Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, Lions got really lucky winning yesterday over the Giants. And I was starting to think, Lions are starting to slide a little bit.
Yeah.
Which they haven't played very good football lately. No. But I'm taking Lions for 5 at home.
Yeah, Lions hadn't lost back-to-back games since 2022. So they were very fortunate not to.
That's a crazy stat.
I know. The Lions.
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs at Dallas Cowboys. This game got a lot better yesterday.
Yeah, with the Cowboys coming back from 21-0, of course, Kansas City winning. Give me Kansas City for 3. I just think that they get it done for no other reason than that.
I got the Cowboys for 2 because I'm a hater. And that was a big win for the Cowboys yesterday to be a team like the
Eagles
being down 21.
Yeah, might get them going.
The Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. I have not read anything about Burrow possibly playing.
Yeah, he had been a full participant in practice, and I think they said something about they didn't want him to play Sunday because then they'd have to turn around and play Thursday. So maybe he's good to go for Thursday. If not, it might be smart just to sit him another one and give him another.
How about all their other dudes? They had like 3 guys go out 3 straight plays yesterday with injury.
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I got Baltimore for 4. Baltimore hasn't been overly impressive either. They're winning.
They won 4 straight.
They have.
I got the Ravens for 8 just because they're at home, and I hate that I put that many points on it. Yeah. So, Black Friday game, and it's a good one. Chicago Bears at Philadelphia Eagles.
Eagles will have something to prove, and I think they will prove that. Give me Philadelphia for 7.
I got the Eagles for 4. I think they bounce back, but if it's a close game, it's hard to pick against the Bears right now, but I think the Eagles
are just done. Another weird thing to say.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars at the Tennessee Titans.
Give me Jacksonville for 8. Tennessee stinks.
And that pains you because you hate the Jaguars.
No, I do.
I got the Jaguars for 10, but it'll probably be a close game because the Jaguars like to play with their food even when they win games. Atlanta Falcons at the New York Jets.
Give me the Jets for 1.
I got the Falcons for 3, but I don't think either team's very good.
Coin flip.
L.A. Rams at the Carolina Panthers.
Give me the Rams for 11.
Wish I could watch the Panthers play tonight because if they win tonight over the Niners, I might have a different feeling about this, especially them being at home. But I got the Rams for 7. I think they're rolling right now. The New Orleans Saints at the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins coming off a bye. Give me the Dolphins for 5.
This is total Dolphin letdown territory for you coming off a bye against a really bad team. But I got the Dolphins for 12. I think they take care of business.
They should, but again, they're the Miami Dolphins.
Arizona Cardinals at Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and like Thad Mooney said here, AC joint sprain for Baker. No timetable for return per the ESPN ticker.
I picked this game and didn't change it until after. Well, I picked the game before his injury, and so I'm going to stick with it. Give me Tampa Bay for 10.
I got Bucks for 6. I still think at home, even with Teddy Bridgewater, they find a way to beat the Cardinals. They
should, yeah.
San Francisco 49ers at the Cleveland Browns with Shedeur Sanders making his second career start. He was the first Browns rookie to win his first start since, I think, it's either 99 or 95. I don't know. Something.
That's bad. Give me 49ers for 14.
I got Niners for 11. I think Raiders' defense is better than their offense, but it's still not that great.
Yeah.
And I think San Francisco's defense is going to show Shedeur, like, welcome to the NFL.
Definitely.
Type moment. Houston, Texas at Indianapolis Colts. This game became a lot bigger yesterday.
Yeah. Give me the Colts for 9 just because they're at home.
I got the Colts for 9 as well. Minnesota Vikings at Seattle Seahawks. Think Sam Darnold's pumped for this one?
Oh, I bet he's pumped. Give me Seattle for 15.
I got Seattle for 16. I just don't see him losing at home. Buffalo Bills at Pittsburgh Steelers. Very big game for both teams.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh needs Rodgers back, and I assume he'll be back. With that being said, give me the Bills for 12. I just don't believe.
Whoa!
Yeah,
I got the Bills for 1. So, all right. Las Vegas Raiders at the LA Chargers.
Give me the Chargers for 16.
I got the Chargers for 15. Denver Broncos at the Washington Commanders.
Is that Sunday nighter?
Sunday nighter, yeah.
Daniel's going to play?
I haven't seen anything about Daniels.
I don't think it matters. Give me Denver for 6.
I got Denver for 13, coming off a bye, as was Washington. Hoping Patrick Surtain's back. I don't know. Sean Payton wouldn't comment on it today. It's just not. That's typical Sean. He doesn't like saying anything about injuries. I'm glad it's Sunday night because that's Broncos' only Sunday night game of the year. And I was really afraid they were going to flex it due to how bad Washington is. But in Monday night, are New York Giants at New England Patriots?
Patriots have had a very fortunate schedule, but give me Patriots for 13.
I got the Patriots for 14. They got a pretty easy schedule here on out. They do have the Bills, but it's at home.
I don't believe in them.
Yeah,
I've said that.
I think they're a year ahead of schedule. So, like, you know, I think they'll make the playoffs, but making a run at the Super Bowl, I don't think they're ready for that yet. But I could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Any other NFL thoughts?
No, I don't think I have anything else. I was trying to think of jobs that will open. And, of course, we have Tennessee open. We have the New York Giants open. I think Arizona will open.
You said Cincinnati you think will open.
And I think Cincinnati will open. I think Atlanta has a good shot to open. Miami has a shot to open. Other than that, though.
What if the Bills are early exit?
I could see them moving on from McDermott. I think it'd be stupid to do that. I honestly, it would probably make more sense to fire the GM after not getting Allen any wide receiver help at all. Their wide receiver core is terrible. But at the same time, it's hard to fire a GM and then keep the head coach in the NFL more so than any other sport. But
I don't think we'll see any coaches retire.
Maybe Pete, if this might be it for Pete. Yeah. Probably time to do it, but no, I don't think any.
Would the Steelers and Tomlin part ways if they don't make the playoffs?
I could definitely see that. I could see the Steelers trying to trade him, which would make sense. I'd love it if the Dolphins went and got Mike Tomlin, but
it'd be a lot more discipline.
Maybe it's time for John Harbaugh if they don't win a Super Bowl. Maybe it's time for them to kind of think about that too.
Well, they got to worry about making the playoffs.
I know.
Worry about winning the Super Bowl. So, college football week 13. Any big takeaways from week 13?
Big 10 wise, Oregon taking care of USC.
Yep.
Illinois, who was just ranked
latest stinker.
That was an ugly one. That was real ugly for them.
It's interesting, you know, they give Fickell that vote of confidence, then they knock off two at the time ranked teams at home.
Yeah, they're playing much better. Than they have, but it's still a pretty embarrassing effort for Illinois, and I think that pretty much sealed their defensive coordinator Aaron Henry's fate. Wisconsin hadn't scored more than 14 points since week two, and they gave up 27 to them.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. It should. I know Brett is very loyal to him because Aaron Henry was defensive back for him at Wisconsin, but,
Is Northwestern's coach the best coach in the Big Ten?
He might be pound for pound. Honestly, might be. Bowl eligible again with a roster that probably should not be bowl eligible.
He did that 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah. And last year they were real close as well. I think they went 5-7. Pound for he might be the actual best coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Elsewhere around the country, Notre Dame's game was over 5 minutes into the game. A trousing.
Notre Dame scored 21 points before their offense took a
incredible
snap.
Incredible. I got on the Fran Brown train, and my goodness. Yeah. Sorry, Syracuse.
Tanner, curse of death there.
They were 3-1, and it'd be Clemson, and they have not done anything since. I put a bet on Jeremiah Love to win the Heisman because he was fifth odds.
That's crazy. I think he should win it.
I threw some money on him. I think it was like $5 or $10, and it gets me a decent chunk if he wins it. Yeah, so
I think he's going to win it. Yeah. That's just my thoughts of it. Where do you think Lane Kiffin coaches next year?
I think he's back in Ole Miss.
Ole Miss gave him an ultimatum.
I know.
They have to let him know by when they usually play Thursday night, don't they?
The Egg Bowl?
It's usually Thursday night, but it might be switched just because the NFL is kind of taking over. But they kind of gave him an ultimatum that he needs to make up his mind. I mean, he hasn't signed an extension. LSU wants him real bad. Florida wants him. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
It's Friday at noon.
Man, it used to be like primetime Thursday night before the NFL. Now,
Friday in the SEC, you got the Egg Bowl. You got Georgia Tech, which Georgia Tech losing takes little energy off that. Texas A&M, Texas.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think Kiffin's a good coach, but like the numbers get thrown around for him. Like the dude hadn't won a championship.
Yeah, he hasn't even coached in the playoff.
Like, and we're seeing schools we thought would be have openings, like Florida State retained Mike Norvell because I think they realize this is a bad year to be looking for a head coach.
Yeah.
You know, Carousel. And we're seeing schools like Maryland, keep Locksley, like, because you don't want to keep doing this every couple of years and just paying buyouts and like, it's just nuts.
Cal's coach, Justin Wilcox, that's a tough job.
That's a very tough job.
He's made them very respectable going to bowls and they fired him.
They're bowl eligible right now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they are.
Dumb.
And I so stupid.
Dumb.
I think it was, I know they've been playing better, but keeping Luke Fickell, it was curious anyway. I wonder if Penn State's regretting it a little bit, knowing who they have to go up against.
Yeah. And is there any way this guy gets the job?
I think it would be,
I mean, colossally. Their fans would probably be mad, but they've played so much better.
They have.
With them.
I think, how often have they taken an interim tag off and it's
very
actually
rare.
Worked? I think
Dabo.
It would be a colossal mistake.
Dabo's about the only one I can think of.
Yeah. Sherrone Moore's been okay this year for Michigan, but for the most part, it's just,
yeah,
it
that's
usually
a good point.
Doesn't work.
That's a good point. James Franklin, like you said last week, landed at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
So.
And one thing, I know the Penn State players are like advocating for them to take the interim tag off, but the last people you need to listen to are the players.
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't.
And the fans.
Not, but what I'm saying is, you know, they had a tough loss at Iowa.
Yeah.
Tough loss at home to Indiana. And
they've
won every,
better.
And they've won all the other games.
Yeah.
They looked pretty good. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe all they needed to do was have Drew Aller get hurt.
Maybe. Yeah. I've never been a big Drew Aller fan or Cade Klubnik. They're kind of one in the same.
And you haven't been impressed by Bryce Underwood either.
I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Bryce Underwood.
Big Ten games this week. We got two on Friday. One always plays on Friday. That's Iowa at Nebraska.
Yeah, this is a fascinating one. Iowa should have lost to Michigan State. Down 10 in the fourth quarter.
Jonathan Smith will be
I think that'll open.
Yeah,
two and done. For one, punting it to that guy, and that's the only reason why Iowa won. Long punt return, which is pretty typical Iowa.
Yes,
honestly.
It is. They're 6.5-point favorites, by the way, Iowa's.
Give me Nebraska for one, just because it's in Lincoln.
I'm taking Iowa for four. Four of the last seven matchups, Iowa's won on a walk-off field goal of this rivalry.
Yeah.
Nebraska just looked like dog water. That's my word of the
night.
That's your dog
new
water. I want to say something else.
I was going to say, I thought you were going a different direction in that.
I want to say something else, but I'm saying water instead of what I really want to say. So they looked awful at Penn State. So the Old Oakham Bucket, not looking forward to this one. Number two, Indiana, 28.5-point favorites at Purdue. NBC, sorry, America.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week.
Oh, boy.
I think IU covers that, and they might win by double to 28. That's just me. IU's been killing everyone besides Penn State in Iowa. But you wonder where Purdue's head is. IU still has a lot to play for. Give me IU for eight. Sorry, T-Dog. J-Man's Book of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency, Life Home Auto, Business Renters, Workers Comp, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Look at the Purdue fan. I mean, just hoping Purdue can cover and compete for like a half. I mean, at least Wisconsin and Maryland hung in there for a half against IU before IU destroyed them. So I'm hoping maybe Purdue can do that. But I think there'll be more IU fans than I've ever seen at Ross State Stadium for this game.
Cold too.
Yeah, it's gonna be cold too. I was thinking back. I've only seen Purdue lose at Ross State in the bucket games twice, and they're both by 3 points in overtime, 2019 and 2010. They lost by 18 points in 2015, but I missed that game. That was the only bucket game at Ross State I've missed since 2000. But this one's probably got the makings of being a lot more higher deficit than 18 points. Of course, they've lost to Indiana. Lost by 66 last year. There's another Hazel year that I think they lost by 20-some at Indiana. Because Darryl only played Indiana once at home in his 4 years. Somehow there's a back-to-back year at Indiana in there. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Barry Odom will probably become the first Purdue coach to lose their first bucket game in quite a – well, going back to Hazel. It was him and Hazel. Yeah, but then you got to go back a ways to find a coach that lost their first one. So, with all that said, I'm taking Indiana for nine.
There's only, oh my gosh, I think I missed the game.
there's 18 teams. So
I know. I'm looking at. So in Indiana for nine. That's what I meant. I'm trying to think which game I missed.
Well, you'll find out here soon.
I'll find out.
The game, number one, Ohio State at number 15, Michigan. Can Ohio State finally get this Michigan bug off their back? They are 9.5-point favorites.
I'm sure they're going to be feeling some pressure. It was hilarious last week when they played Rutgers. They gave Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate the week off, and it was pretty much load management. That's what it was. But that's how good they are. Give me Ohio State for five.
I got Ohio State for six. Yeah, I think they're the best team in the country. Oh, and hot take here. This is probably going to make a lot of people mad. Even though Indiana is number two in the country, I don't think they're the best team in Indiana.
Notre Dame?
I think Notre Dame's better.
Yeah, when I was checking the score, I'm like, man, Notre Dame might win the national title.
I think they're better than they were last year when the national runner-up. Will they get there? I have my doubts. But they're more of a complete team. Now, their defensive backs are worse, but they're more of a complete offense.
I think C.J. Carr's better than Riley Leonard, too.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And Love and even Price. That's threat of monster, man.
Yeah.
If I'm Indiana, I don't want to see them in the playoffs again.
No, I wouldn't either. Oh, especially in Indiana, I think there'd be
– Well, I think IU would get a bye, probably.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. So. Unless they lose this week.
Oh, if they lose this week, yeah, then they
might drop out completely.
God, that'd be great. Paul Bunyan's axe game, Wisconsin at Minnesota.
That's the one I'm missing. I have my 8-pointer.
Minnesota's a 1.5-point favorite.
Give me Minnesota for eight just because they're at home.
Worst 6-5 team I've ever seen, but yeah.
It's funny. You said that, and then they went on a big run and got up like 15, and I'm like, oh, yeah, good call. And then Northwestern comes back and like, oh, well, just kidding.
I think they went at home, but it would be hilarious if they lose and go 6-6 and back their way into a bowl. Number five, Oregon, 6.5-point favorites at Washington. This should be a good game.
Oregon for four.
I got the Ducks for two. Penn State at Rutgers. Penn State's 12.5-point favorite. This for bowl eligibility. Winner gets in, loser stays home.
Give me Penn State for six.
I got Penn State for seven. Maryland at Michigan State, 4-7 versus 3-8.
Yikes.
And Michigan State's a 3.5-point favorite.
Give me Michigan State for two just because they're at home.
I got Sparty for one. Northwestern, 6-5 at Illinois, 7-4, who is a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, if Illinois wins, that's eight wins. That's a great season. That's where I had them. For some reason, idiot Illinois fans thought they were going to make the college football playoff, which I thought was stupid coming into the year. That's why I had them 8-4. So they're right where I thought they'd be at this point. Give me Illinois for three. It'll be interesting to see where their head's at, though.
I got Illinois for five. UCLA at number 19. USC is a 21.5-point favorite.
Give me USC for seven.
I got USC for eight. Top 25 games real quick. The Egg Bowl, number six, Ole Miss at 5-6, Mississippi State. Ole Miss is only a 6.5-point favorite.
Give me Ole Miss, though.
I like Ole Miss in that one. Number four, Georgia, 13.5-point favorite at number three, Georgia Tech.
Georgia.
I like Georgia as well. Number three, Texas A&M, 2.5-point favorite at number 16, Texas.
Texas win this one, I think they get in the playoff, which would be stupid. With
a three-loss team.
If they were in the Big Ten, they might not even be ranked at this point. Give me A&M, though. Hopefully. Although I don't like them either.
I'll take Arch in Texas.
Arch's been playing better.
He's been playing a lot better.
Yeah.
LSU, who's 7-4, at number 8, Oklahoma, who's 9-2 and a 10.5-point favorite.
Oklahoma. They're good.
Number 12, Vanderbilt, 9-2, at number 18, 8-3, Tennessee, is a 2.5-point favorite.
Cannot stand Diego Pavia or his mom at this point.
I can't stand Tennessee.
Yeah. Give me Tennessee.
I think Tennessee wins at home. Number 10, 9-2 Alabama at 5-6 Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Alabama's 6.5-point favorite.
I want to pick Auburn, but I can't. Give me Alabama.
I think Alabama wins as well. And number 9, Notre Dame, 9-2 at 4-7 Stanford. Notre Dame's a 32.5-point favorite.
They cover. It'll be interesting offseason for Andy Luck there.
It will be.
Stanford.
Yeah. That was classic during his interview, sideline interview the other night.
Yeah.
That was great. That was great. Birdie or bogey, there has been four teams in the NFL that have played in one or zero Thanksgiving games. Can you name those four teams? Three for par, four for a birdie.
Houston Texans.
No, they played in two.
Man, that's going to be bad. Tennessee Titans. Oh, boy.
No, the Titans have played in seven.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I guess they count Oilers. The Oilers. I don't remember Titans. Oh, man.
Because I think I asked you.
Jacksonville Jaguars have to be one.
They are the only team that's never played in any. So, any, yes, they are one of the four. I think I've asked you that before about the Jaguars.
Maybe you have. Clearly, I don't remember. I have no idea.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers once in 2006, and they lost that one. Yeah. Panthers once in 2015, and they won it. The Bengals once in 2010.
I almost said the Bengals. Son of a gun. I figured they'd been on more because they've been around for a long time. Well, that was embarrassing.
that was a hard one.
Yeah. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, everybody. Eat a lot of food, and we'll be back at her next Monday with another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us for 9 years.